Father, we love you and praise you. You are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. It's good to be with all of you this morning. As I've said before, this is a very important day to me, and that is to honor my mother for the sacrifices that she has definitely made. I think so often children don't realize the sacrifices that mothers do go through, the disappointments that we face in life, and the unexpected, or should I say the unrealistic expectations that we may have, and we find that they're not exactly like we would have envisioned them to be. If you would turn with me again, and this is, I think, one of my favorite scriptures when it comes to mothers, and it's out of Proverbs chapter 31. I'm not going to hang with it completely, but I do want to share a few things about a woman, as Solomon spoke of a woman. Solomon was born by David, King David, and Bathsheba. But he was conceived out of wedlock. He was, but his sibling was. But he was one that probably wasn't the first to sit on the throne. But how many know that God raises up who he will and he puts down who he will? And when we look at that, Solomon had a great mother, and Bathsheba was a woman, obviously, that loved the Lord. And I believe that when he speaks about a virtuous woman here, he's really looking at his mother. And he says in verse 10, Proverbs 31 and verse 10, he said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." In other words, it's priceless. You know, to find a good, the Bible said, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing." And the Bible said the husband, the wife, the miracle that happens is they become one flesh. I love what Fuchsia Pickett always said. She said, you know, Adam, before his chromosomes were separated, and I don't want to get into it because others will grab hold of that, but what God did is he took out of him a rib, and he took a chromosome out of him, and he made a woman, that they could become one. And so that when they got married, there was a union of the rib. Amen. That we become one flesh. And I thought that made a lot of sense, in the sense that, the Lord would bring us together. Does that mean that a woman is inferior? By no means. You know, the Bible says that he's called us heirs and joint heirs. He didn't call us inferior. He said he wanted to make us, Jesus said, as it was in the mind of the Lord not to find it robbery to be equal with the Lord. He was equal with the Lord, and because he was God, and yet he became a servant. Well, I want you to know something. God brings us not to a place of a servant, but to a place of a friend, and even a son. Isn't that wonderful? And how much, if God looks at us that way, how much we should look at each other that way. You know, the wife might be more intelligent than the husband. Boy, think about that for a little while. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we all have intelligence, both males and females. But let me get back here just a little bit. It said, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." And you know how important a relationship and trust is in a marriage. It says, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." And I wanted to say in that is, and probably describes an ideal wife, In Proverbs 31:11, the heart of the husband doth safely trust in her. She is not afraid of work. I tell you, like Christine just said, how hard her mother worked in order for the children to have a good time, in order for the family to have fun. And you know, it is a lot of work to want to do that, but she is not afraid of work. She's not afraid of work. She works hard, long. She feeds, she clothes, and her family well. And it is so important. My wife was saying about my grandmother and how that she fed everything. Even when we had some lobster, she would say, take the shells up and throw them in the project up there where the fish can eat it. I mean, there was nothing that went to waste. She wanted to feed. I remember another time a man, back in the 70s when, you know, hippies were, it was the Vietnam era and all the hippies, you know, and this guy, long hair, and he comes along. We're out camping in the middle of the woods, and this guy comes walking along, and she said, would you like a sandwich? And she fed it. And after he left, she said, I think he was an angel. My grandfather said, he looked like a hippie to me. But, you know, she just had an attitude. And I know, Chris, your mom, you know, had that same outlook. And, you know, we should have a really good outlook on life. You know, surely we may have been through hardships and brokenness and all of those things. But you know what? Life is where your heart is. It's what you make of it. My grandmother said to me one time, we were sitting on the beach down in Pine Point, which is down by Old Orchard. And as we were sitting there, she said, look behind you. She said, what do you see? I said, we see mansions. She said, isn't that something? They pay the taxes. We're free with a blanket. In other words, you know, her whole attitude was not that we're poor, but we're rich. Amen. And that's having a right frame of mind to get through this world. Because there's lots of troubles. There's lots of heartaches in this world. But the Bible said, think on those things that are good, that are wholesome, that are lovely, you know, that are good. And so we realize in that, Lord, what am I looking at today? Do I know your love? Do I know that you're in control? You know, we see the news and we see all the bleakness in the world, but I want you to know something. In Psalms 2, and I quote this often, he said, I laugh when they rage because God is totally in control of our lives. Isn't that wonderful that we can have that peace? That's what separates us from the world, is the fact that we have favor with God. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. And I want you to know, mothers, don't allow the devil to beat you up, but to say, Lord, I know that you are holy and you are righteous. She keeps her eyes open, you know, for good deals. And I will tell you this, you know, is to say, Lord, what can I do to clothe my children? And I will tell you this, that you can spend $1,000 like a dollar, or you can spend a dollar like $1,000. How many know God blesses us? How many know with prayer, as we begin to ask him to help us through all of the things that we face in life, that God will provide our every need. And I want to read down through. She raises also while it is yet night. And you know, we look at this. While it is yet night, I'll get here. And giveth meat to her household and portions to her maidens. Wow. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Think about that. In other words, she's in real estate. She's looking for land to buy. She's looking for ways to gain in life. You know, and that's the thing we need to realize with mothers, you know, is they're faithful and they're loving. And I thank God for my mother. She stretcheth her hand out to the poor. Okay? She reacheth forth her hand for the needy. She is not afraid of sorrow for her household. For her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself a covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh the fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth raiment unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the times to come. And I just think that was a wonderful description of what a lady can be. We're living in an age today where children are being taught that you're best to have a dog than you want to have a child. And I was recently hearing about a lady who said they've got two dogs. And I thought to myself, who's going to pay you Social Security? Dogs, I don't believe, are going to be paying into the Social Security to help you. But we have to realize that children are a blessing. I was thinking of Hannah this morning and how that she was barren. The most important thing for her was to have children. And she prayed and asked the Lord, and she went to the house of Eli, and he was the high priest. And she said to him, she said, if you will pray for me that God will open my womb, I will give the firstborn unto you. And he was his name was Samuel. So what we realize in that is that, you know, that Eli prayed for her, and she had the child, and she brought the child after he was weaned, to Eli, and he was raised in Eli's house. And you can only imagine what that's like. But you know what? God used him mightily. How many believe for your children? How many are praying, God, I want my children to be blessed, to be greater, or to do more than I have done? I pray, Lord, that they'll have more than I have. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they will serve you. It is so important never to give up on your children. And, that reminds me of Rachel in the Bible. We look at idealistics. Everything is perfect. Nothing goes wrong. You know, everyone gets what he or she wishes. Everything ends with, and they all lived happily ever after. You know, there's a saying, kiss a frog and make him a prince. I'm afraid if you've kissed a frog, you may still be living with a frog. You're not gonna make him a prince, amen. And some people, you know, some women feel that, but I want you to know something. You can definitely bless them. You can definitely set the tone in your household. You can definitely say, Lord God, in my house. My grandpa never served the Lord until his later days. And, you know, but she went to church every Sunday. His job was to put the roast in the oven at 10 o'clock. So it would be ready when she got out of church. That was his Sunday chore. But the thing is, she never gave up. And she always made the best of what she had. And you know, we can do that too. I want you to know the idealistic world that we think about is not here. The Bible said, in this world you will have persecution. In this world you will have situations that you'll go through. And I know there are people, you know, they look at the situation, but I want you to know this thing. Through all of it, I know him. Do you know him today? You see, to know him. You know, I think of the three talents, and I spoke about it last week. One went and made 10 talents with his talent, was given 10 cities. Another one and made 5 talents with his talent, and he got 5 cities. The other hid it, his talent. And a lot of people would say, well, you know, don't be so hard on the guy. Maybe he just didn't feel confident. No, it's what he said. He said, I knew that you were a hard taskmaster. I knew that you were unfair, in other words. You see, when you don't know God, you'll have problems with theology. When you don't know him, I know him. Even when it looks as if there's contradiction, I know him. Can you say amen with me? Somebody might come to you and say, well, you know this about your husband or that about your son. And you know, you can say, I know him. I know. Amen. How many of you, we can know God? And when we know God, he helps us through the difficult times. I trust you, Lord God, because I know you. I know your character. You've shared that character with me, that you are love, that you are merciful, that you are loving. Lord God, I thank you. You are holy. Amen. And you want to know something? When you worship him, you don't worship him for his love. You worship him for his holiness. You are holy, Lord. You are holy, Lord. You are holy. And that is what we say when we worship. Thank God that he's holy. He's the only creator that is holy. There are no other creators anyhow. But I want you to know something. He is holy without blemish. Amen. Amen. And when anybody wants to accuse him or to call him a warmonger or to call him this, I want you to know something. My God, I know him. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I will serve the living God.
Amen.
Can you say amen with me? Well, we need to realize here that we deal with problems throughout life. Broken dreams are often the norm. Some things are never fixed. I think of unrealistic expectations. In other words, we feel like, well, my child is going to go to college or that, and maybe they won't even finish high school. But the fact of it is that's fine. Amen. We love unconditionally. We encourage at every point in life. Amen. That is something that we do because God shares with us. I think of Rachel in the Bible. She has two boys, Esau and Jacob. I believe Jacob was a mama's boy. He was one that was close to mom. Esau, we know that he was a hunter. He went out foraging after a wild game. And I believe that he was Isaac's favorite. You know, he was a man's man. But mom loved Jacob. And she remembered the promise that God gave that the latter would be served by the former. And so what she did is she tried in her own wisdom and how to give Jacob the blessing. But in doing that, it cost her greatly. Her intention what a mess was created. Jacob would have to run, and she would never see him again. He would have to flee for his life. And the thing we realize is sometimes, you know, and even in her life, not everything was perfect. Not everything is idealistic. But the fact is we know that God was with Jacob. Later in life, we know that his name was turned from Jacob to Israel. And this where the nation of Israel was born. But we look at idealistic versus realistic. You know, I think a mother, and with all of us, we all get older. I think it's harder for women than it is for men. You know, I don't mind the gray hair. I don't mind all that. I think that ladies, a lot of time, they fight the fight, you hear. But we know that nobody ever wins. Amen. I mean, the size 8 and the size to the size 10 may not be ever experienced again except for in shoe size. But the fact of it is, you know what? This is just a temporal body. You understand that? This body is going to die, and it's going to go into the grave. And all is vanity and vexation of spirit. When we look at physical, we look at the flesh. I want you to know this right now. It's the inner body. It is the spirit man that shall live forever and ever and ever. If you're 80 years old today, I want you to know you're still young. Amen. Because we'll never get older in our spiritual self. Thank you, Lord. The realistic mother knows, you know, that she may never wear that wedding dress again that she wore some 30, 40 years ago, if you even still have it. A lot of times they end up getting lost somewhere. But the thing that we can know is that God loves us. See, that's what we need to know. God is with us. You know, we might expect our children to gravitate toward this way or that way. But I want you to know something. One of the shocks in life is that when those little creatures have a will of their own, and sometimes I think for parents, wait a minute, no, I had this an idea, I had that as an idea, only to find out that they have a will. And you know what? We raise them, but we give them to the Lord. How many of you trust the Lord with your children? Amen. You see, when we don't trust the Holy Spirit, then we can cause damage in our relationships. Just like with a husband or a wife. You have to trust the Holy Spirit, or even pastor and the people in the church. When we try to do the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, we can mess things up. When only God, the Bible said one can water, well, I always get the water in the plant. I know you want to plant before you water. So one will plant, another will water. If you water first, you're going to make a mess. Okay, so you plant, you water. But he said, only God can give the increase. Sometimes we try to hold ourselves and to say, well, maybe my children would be further along if this, or maybe the church would be further along if this. That's where we have to trust the Lord. God, they're your children. How many know that he loves you? How many know that they are his children, and my children are really his children? And we do the best that we can, and definitely as human beings, we're not perfect. We strive for it, but we realize in reality, or realistically, that this world isn't a big marshmallow that you can go out and jump on. I knew when I was young, I used to look at the neon lights and look at the city and think that it was like a big trampoline, and it would appeal to me. It would attract to me. And now at 65, when I look at the neon lights, I want to run the other way. I don't want anything to do with it. I see danger. I see the reality that I didn't know when I was young. But the fact of it is God is faithful even as we're growing. Aren't you glad that we can mature in him? Aren't you glad that we're not where we were? Aren't you glad, like Paul said? He said, I wish that you were full grown and that you were able to eat the meat instead of the milk. How many know, how do we grow in him? Is it a sermon that makes us grow? Well, I think a sermon can give us nourishment, but growth comes through living life. You see what I'm saying? So we go through hardships, we go through difficulties, and all of that, it brings strength and it brings endurance. I was talking to my grandson the other day, and we were at a store, and I bought Levi a pizza because we had to go pick up a stove and was doing some errands. And while I was in line, the woman at the clerk, she looked at him and looked at me and said, oh, I see you spending the day with Grandpa. How do you know I'm not his father? Oh, well, those things happen. But the thing that we need to understand and realize is, as he was eating, he ate two pieces of pizza. I don't eat much anymore, Grandpa. I work and I don't eat much. I said, well, you got to feed them muscles you're trying to build. I said, if you don't, you know what you lose first? Muscle, not fat. And he ate the whole pizza after that. So I think it was a good pep talk. But what I find, about him and what I was explaining to him is if you want to build muscle, you got to tear the muscles you have. And that doesn't sound good, does it? You ever go out and you lift weights and the next day you can't even lift your arms? What it is you've done damage to your muscles. And so what your body does is it says, oh, well, I'll make up for that, and I'll give her a little more. And then you go out couple of days later, they always tell you wait 2 or 3 days, and you do it again, and oh, again. Well, see, that's how we gain strength in life. Life is like a gymnasium. You know, we all want it easy and float, and you know what I'm saying? But God loves us more than that. He allows us to go through difficulties because what it does is it breaks us down, and then what's replaced is something greater. It's called faith. I think of Abraham when he was told, he said, yes, he said, you're in the promised land, but in 400 years I'm going to lead the children back into Egypt. And he was concerned. Why would you do that? He said, that they may know me as a deliverer. How can we know him as a deliverer unless we need deliverance? We look at our past. We look at our mistakes. We look at the difficulties. We look at the struggles. We look at the trials. And in everything, with the right attitude, we strengthen to take on what is set before us. And I want you to know this, that God is saying, I'm with you. And I'm with you, mothers, as you go through the situations that you go through in life. Hallelujah. And we can know him. Hallelujah, Jesus. I've got to get Paige loose here. But we look at a realistic mother. You know, we think of, you know, when we're going to live in a mansion. And someday we will. God said he's going to build for us that place. But that place isn't here. We're sojourners in a strange land. We may never have that big house, or we may never have that mansion. Because a realistic mother may live in an apartment downtown or in a rundown neighborhood. All right. But I want you to know that the home is where the heart is. You can make anything home if your heart is right. Amen. I've shared with you before how that when my mom had a nice home, a big garage and all that, I said, Mom, I said, you must really be happy. You know, look what you have. She says, no. She said, I was happier when we lived on Walker Street. We were so poor then, we didn't even have a car. You know, if you wanted entertainment living on Walker Street in Westbrook, you just hung out the windows, like Bartlett Street. The cops were either one side or the other. I mean, there was always a show. You know, on Walker Street. It was these row houses that the mills had built many, many years ago for the workers, that French people that came down to work in the mill, and they gave them housing. Of course, that had diminished, and now these houses were rented. But I thought to myself, how could you be happier there? We didn't even have hot water. We didn't even have a furnace to heat the place. They had a little makeshift kerosene stove. You know, we didn't have much. And I'm thinking to myself, how is that possible? And then I thought about it. My dad was alive. All of us were together. And you know something? Sometimes we miss the beauty around us because we're looking for something that may never exist. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. We need to redeem the hour. We need to know today is a gift. Tomorrow is not mine. So what will I do with today? Will I have a right attitude? Will I seek those that I love? Rather than be critical. It's always easy to be critical. You know, if you were like your brother... Well, you know what I'm saying, or you know, it's easy to be critical, but how many know that's never of the Lord? We should always be building up. We should always say, you know, this, and find a quality in that child that's different from other children. And that is so important, but it's to build one another up. I think of the lady, and I've shared this before. And she went to the pastor, and she was complaining and complaining and complaining about her husband. He didn't think, oh my goodness, I hope she doesn't come back. The next week she came, I want another appointment with you. And she's complaining and she's complaining and she's complaining. He said, how do you talk to him? Well, I tell him the same thing I'm telling you. In fact, I think of a man that got stopped speeding at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he said, why are you in such a hurry? And where are you going this time of night? He said, I'm going to a meeting. He said, well, what meeting? He said, a meeting against alcohol and against drugs and what they do to your body. And he goes, wow, at 2 o'clock in the morning? He said, who's going to speak at that meeting? He said, my wife. So I guess she was going he knew what he was in for when he got home. And the thing that we realize is what the pastor finally, he prayed about it. He said, Lord, how do I talk to her? He said, you tell her to begin to share the good things about her husband, to build him up, to say great things. And you know what? A week later, she came back to the pastor. You know, she said, he even started painting the house. She said, I begin to see things in his life. You see, if you want something, you want to speak it into existence, if you believe it. If you look at them and say, well, you know, that isn't the truth. That, you know. Let me tell you this right now. What is true? See, the Bible is true. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even when we don't feel like it. Every one of us can internalize. And we can say, you know, like my wife said, I know me better than anybody knows me. And not everything I'm real happy with. Right? But we can strive. But in the meantime, you know what the Lord said? I love you. When you go through a difficult time, and as you're going through a difficult time, maybe you'll say something or you'll do something that will even shock you. And you'll say, oh, Lord. But you know God already knew that was in your heart, and yet he loved you. God knows your every weakness, and yet he loves. How much more should we love those around us? Realize we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. And none of us will necessarily live up to the expectation of what our ideals are. But this one thing we can do is we can have a right attitude. When I think of living in reality, we look at sitting, you know, we think of those sitting here today or those out there living in a real world. We give cards and flowers and various gifts, but we realize, are we willing to forgive? Are we willing to say, you know what, Mom, you weren't perfect. You know what, Dad, you weren't perfect. But there's one thing I can do, I can forgive you. I've shared with you many times how that I had a meeting with my dad at his grave. And there, in that meeting, I was able to say, you know what, I forgive you. I forgive you. And that was the best Father's Day of my life, was that time to release and to forgive. And so much today, we should forgive for the things. I think of forgiveness in Psalms 86:5, it said, you are good, O Lord, and full of forgiveness. Your mercy is great to all who make their cry to you. And 1 John 1:9, I said, if we say openly that we have done wrong, he is upright and true to his word, giving us forgiveness of our sin and making us clean from all evil. How many believe that God cleanses? How many know he loves you today? And he wants to cleanse you. He wants to cleanse you more than you might even want to seek it. Forgiveness for all the mistakes you've made in life. Forgiveness for the sins that are committed against God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that wonderful? What I mean by wonderful, it's wonderful to know that we're all on the same level. Mm-hmm. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us need the forgiveness. I've shared before how that a man one time that used to come here, he said, you never have to ask God to forgive you only once. I want to tell you this, man, I asked God to forgive me on multiple occasions. I would rather go to heaven at the judgment seat and find out I asked him to forgive me. I asked him to forgive me one time too many than to find out that I didn't ask him. I asked him one time, not enough. So we need to say, Lord God, thank you for your forgiveness. I think of grace. To understand that no one is perfect in a real world. For mothers who carry the heavy weight of the guilt, God wants to take that away this morning. He wants to take the guilt away this morning. He wants you to know that what I've made clean, call thou not unclean. He said, whom I lift up and who I put down. And I want you to know something. Jesus has lifted us up. You out there on YouTube, you that maybe tune in on Facebook, I want you to know this right now, that God loves you, that God cares for you, and that he wants you to turn your life. And he doesn't want you to walk under a load of guilt. We think about grace, and you know, and I think so often people can try to control you with guilt, try to remind you of things. And that's why you're going to say, all things are passed away, behold, all things become new through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. And we look at grace to understand that no one is perfect in a real world. For mothers carry heavy weight. And we realize here to accept that whatever she has done, that we'd be willing to say, we ask forgiveness. To understand that she's not alone, that many mothers also feel they're in the same position. I want to look quickly at mercy. To deal with the broken heart or the broken home. To deal with a wayward child. To deal with the heartache of decades of mothering. I'm not excusing inappropriate behavior, but I am saying this, that God is able to help us through. Regardless of our situation this morning, you need a God of reality. When I look at Paul, when he says, I press for the mark, he said, I do not preach if I've already attained. We're human beings. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall short in error. But that's when we go immediately back to the Lord and we say, Father, forgive me. Help me, Lord God. Even if it's, he said, how many times should we forgive? He said, 7 times. No, he said, 70 times 7. Really, that's an infinitive number. It means forever. How many know God wouldn't tell you to do it if he's not doing it?
Right.
You may come. Yes, hear what I'm saying? You may come and say, you know what, Lord, I've asked you 1,000 times to forgive me about this. I'm going to tell you what, go 1,001 times. Continue to get up. Continue to believe for restoration, for deliverance in your life. Persevere. The fighter that loses is the one that doesn't get back up. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I will serve the Lord. The Bible said, have an all to stand there for. The Bible says, he that will endure to the end. How many of us are enduring to the time that Jesus comes? How many of us are believing? As she said, a young man that we were talking to the other day, he's going to come probably in a couple of weeks. His name is David. And if you ever read his book, you'd realize what hardships, what sorrows that he has gone through. But the thing that we realize in all of that is the joy that was on his heart. The joy of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this right now. We can rise above every situation. We can rise above it with the power of God. It may be addictions. It may be other things in your life to say, Lord God, I'll tell you, that's why we need to pray for one another.
Yeah.
That's why we never want a Pharisaic environment where everyone is well but you. I remember years ago my brother coming to me. And there was a man in the church, or a couple, And I'm not going to get into any of that, but what I am saying is he thought that they were perfect. But as a pastor, I knew things that the church didn't know. Of course, I didn't share that with him. But somehow, we read the outside of a book. You know, when the person can look perfect and dress well and seem to have it all together, but inside they could be broken. There's a lot of things. See, God, he sees the heart. He said, man judges by the outward appearance, but God judges the heart. Do you know only God knows your heart? Only God knows your heart. And yet, think about it. Even though he knows everything in your heart, he loves you. So I want to encourage mothers this morning to realize that God is a merciful God, that he's a loving God. You know, reach out. And I know sometimes mothers say, well, they didn't call me on Mother's Day. You ever have that guilt? And I'm not calling them. Call them. Reach out. And you know what? That's where we need to die to self and say, hey, I'm not going to walk as a wounded individual. I'm not going to walk that way. I know who I am in Christ, and I know who Christ is in me. And I'm going to be the stronger one here. And I'm going to stand. And I'm going to believe God. Would you stand with me, please, this morning? I've got others here, things. He said, wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful, a merciful and faithful high priest in things that pertain to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Jesus understands your heartache. He's been through it. Think about the beatings that he took and the rejection that he took. Even though he only came to love the people. He only came to heal the people. You know, and I think in every one of our lives, surely we've had hurt. Surely we've had that. I remember, you know, someone saying to me, well, you know, that person said this. I said, listen, I want you to know something. Through the years as a pastor, many times I get the brunt of people's anger. And I think that's because I'm the closest to God, I guess, in the church, and I'm mad at God, so I'm going to give it to him. But you know something? You don't hold that to people's charge. You love them. You say, Lord God, I forgive them. Let them grow. And I ask you this as mothers. Be willing to forgive your children too. Be willing to say, I'm going to take the higher ground. I'm going to accept all the goodness of God. And I'm going to deliver that goodness just as Jesus, who was suffered and tempted in every way that we were. Yes. And yet, he did not succumb to it. So I guess that's our decision. Let's go to the Lord, if we would, in prayer this morning. Sister Barbara, would you just close in prayer?
Lord, we just thank you for your forgiveness for us. And God, we do ask, Lord, that you would help us always, daily, to forgive others as you've forgiven us.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, you cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness to remember no more. Lord, every time those thoughts rise up in us and cause us to remember those things that we were hurt by, whether it's our children or our parents or friends, neighbors, whatever, Lord, help us to bring even those thoughts captive and boost your forgiveness over them as well.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, thank you for each and every mother here that has been striving in prayer in behalf of her children, Lord. And I thank you that you hear the cry of our hearts. And Lord, that even as we're crying out, you've already interceding and you're already putting into place the things that happen to bring those children around. And so, Lord, we know that you are the author and finisher of life, that which you've started, you won't give up on. You won't end. You'll complete it and work on it until it is completed. And so, Lord, for that we thank you as well. I ask, God, that we go before today just remembering who you are.
That's right.
Remembering all the great and mighty things that you have done.
Yes, Jesus.
Help us to understand the power that we wield in your holy name. That there is nothing impossible for you. Nothing. And Lord, help us to stand upon the truths of your word, because your promises are yes and amen. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.